Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart, the website broadcast from Living Letter Ministries. I thank God for what He's doing in these days. God is mightily moving, and I want Him to be mightily moving in your life. Every Christian I see potential. If that child of God will yield to the Lord God Almighty, if they will ask the Lord questions and solve their concerns and allow Him to train them, they will grow in every way there is. They will do well in this life, and there will be no shortcomings in their life when the Lord is finished His work in their life. As He works in your life, you will overcome every obstacle, every shortcoming, every problem as you live. And if you allow Him to train you, you will be thoroughly equipped to fulfill all that's in His heart for your life. And I know this. I walk around knowing this. But the only people that will do this are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness. When people know the condition they're in, you know, with God, you got to be honest. In every phase of life, I was always, in my prayer life, I was honest with God. Now, I noticed I got that from David. David went to the Lord, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I did you wrong. I sinned against you." He was always honest with God. When problems happened, when the famines came, he asked the Lord why. And it was because they had broken Saul had broken covenant with the Gibeonites. That was one time. And he had to solve the problem, and then the famine ended. You know, the drought ended. It was a drought, which causes famine. but David, he didn't just make an excuse for why there was a drought and a famine. He went and asked the Lord questions. If He caused the problem, He sought to get it solved. If He was the cause, He changed Himself. And that's the relationship we have with the Lord. If you try to hide your sin, you're not growing. It's short-circuiting everything you're trying to do for the Lord. Because you bear fruit after your kind. You raise children after your type. If you're doing wrong and you try to get your children to do right, it's not going to work. They have a will. They may do right by God. But you're leaving them a hurdle that they'll have to jump. If you do wrong and you try to raise them right, you're leaving hurdles. It's going to be hard for them to win in that area of life. I've seen it so many times. Women that get pregnant out of wedlock, they rate their children do the same thing. Why are you bashing the women? It's just, that's what they chose to do. And it's hard for their children not to. And some of them get saved and don't do it. That's because God is with them. Their sin is not punishment. That's just the way that they think. That's the way that they are in their heart. If parents that love God and do try to do right and seek the Lord, their children do what they do. I've seen it. I saw it when I was a child. I've seen it all my life. Now, people go through different phases. They do different things at different times. And if you have a mind to do right, your children will seek the Lord just like you're doing. We're dealing with the laws of God. This is the way God set things up. This is the way He does things. Everything that concerns you, we're made in God's image. Never forget that we're made in God's image. Everything God wanted, everything, the way God wanted things to be is the way that He spoke it. It's the way that He operated. It's the covenants He kept to get things to where to the fulfillment of His will. All right, as parents, when you seek the Lord and you learn His ways and seek Him and take Him at His word, you're multiplying in life. That's what God said do in the first place. He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it." All right, that's the pattern that you use in your life for everything. If you want to have a strong family, you have to be a strong person. And if you want to have strong children, you have to marry a strong person. I'm talking about strong in the Lord. If that's what you want. If you love God and you want to have children that love God, then you have to when you get married, try to marry somebody that's doing the same thing. All right. If they don't, then all you have is what you do. Then you commit your life to the Lord totally, and teach your children to do the same thing. And children are persuaded by both parents. So if your spouse is weak, or your children's mother or father is weak, you be strong, and it gives them a greater chance. It's still up to their will what they want to do and be. But the Lord gave us a promise. He said in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right, now, if there was no sin on the earth, they would never leave it. But there are sin, there are influences that they'll have to overcome. The Lord systematically helped me to train my children to avoid every type of sin. And it works. But I did the same thing myself. And parents that don't do these things, they do what they want to do, and they try to get their children to do right so they don't look bad. That's not going to work. That's baloney. It's not going to happen. Same thing with churches. Pastors that are compromised in different areas of their life, it gets in their message. What they do, you'll find it in the flock behind them. Because we bear fruit after our type, after our kind. A good tree that's how you know an old false prophet. They cannot bear good fruit. It's impossible. A false prophet bears weak fruit. When a pastor gets in pride, which is one of the worst sins you can get in, there are people, they just like him. Or either the ones that really love God, he vexed their spirit and they leave. And the ones that look up to him, they become proud and they become fearful. Every time a person that's in pride, that's what they produce. They produce people of pride and they produce people of fear. That's two characteristics I've seen when people get in pride. When parents try to run the house by fear or pride, it's the same thing happened to the children. You have to learn the ways and wisdom of God and seek his heart. Hear him out. Do what he say do. And then you'll see the fruit of God in your children that you're after. And encourage your spouse to do the same thing. Some people are not married to their children's mother or father. But you have to do the best you can with what you have to work with. And sometimes somebody may have died. Your children's other parent may be dead. And you may be remarried. And you want that person's influence to be strong. Now, you can't make people be strong. You can't make people love God. And God loves us where we're at. And you have to love them where they're at. You may want to study the Word every day. They may not. You don't press. It's not good to pressure people. Let them know, encourage them in love, and that's all you can do. And do the best you can with what you have to work with. Now we're going to talk about training. That's what the Lord put on my heart. But you can't make people train. That's of the heart. That's of the will. Now last broadcast we talked about being willing, and this one we're talking about training. When the Lord trains you, he will prepare you for what's ahead. He will help you gain a wise outlook. He will help you to operate your life by love and not hate. He will show you the truth about things so that you can know how to navigate. He'll show you people's perceptions. He'll show you whether you can help people or not. He will show you things to come. And he will train you for a purpose. Never forget that. The Lord will prepare you for a purpose, a good purpose. Now, if it's true that the plan and of salvation and all the full plan of God, if it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, that suggests that in order for you to pull off the perfect will of God, you're going to have to be trained for it. Man can help you train. That's why the Lord sent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in that order. In American traditions, pastors are first, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. In God's order, he listed apostles first, then prophets, then evangelists, and then pastors, and then teachers, in that order. And every office has its own purpose. When the Lord called me to be an apostle, he revealed it to me in 1992, in the winter of 1992. I think it was February. And this is a day I'll never forget. I don't really remember the month, but I remember that day. And I thought I was tripping when he said that. It took me, but when I thought about what he had me doing, it answered a lot of my questions. See, the call of God has a consistency with it. And everything that he gives you to do, it must be revealed by him. I didn't ask for this. This is something that he did. Your calling, if you ask for one, that's the word of God said, wait on the Lord. And let the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will give you what he wants you to have. If you try to ask for something, you don't have all the wisdom. If you can trust his wisdom, you're going to do better. And then if you ask for something, you're asking for it because that's what you've seen. And God's not going to, he calls people to do what he sees, not what you see. He knows, he's prepared you for something. And you may want your life to be like somebody else's, but it really won't fit. The only thing that'll truly fit is what God give you. That's what you're going to truly be happy with. That's what you're living, his perfect will and not his permissive will. In his perfect will, you live longer and better in most cases. In his perfect will, you reap a greater harvest. You fulfill a greater cause. In his permissive will, it's not the same. You don't bear as much fruit. It's not as good. You can't be rewarded as much. Trust me, the perfect will, you'll love it the most. You're going to love it. Now, the reason people run from it is because they haven't seen it. And nobody can prepare you for it. Nobody you know can prepare you for the perfect will of God. All at best, they can help you train. It takes the Holy Spirit to finish training. He'll work through people, but if there's a relationship one-on-one where he can train you, he'll prepare you to do a perfect work. And he'll give you the details of what he wants you to do over time. And he'll guide you into it. So the main thing, my best advice is love God, enjoy him. And train to do right. Your training should be to do the word of God. Make as he revealed the word of God, open it up. Everything you study, you practice it. That's your starting point. Then he started giving you assignments that he wants you to complete. And you stand in the word. Now last time we talked about being willing. And you have to protect your dedication. If you have a will to do God's will, make it stronger. And you'll notice this. He'll use others to fan the flames of your dedication. He'll use others, your pastor, other ministers, people on the radio, TV. He'll have them to say things that you need at strategic times, and you'll know you're on the right track. As long as you're in faith, he will give you confirmation. But when you fail to follow him, it's not the same. But when you do what he wants you to do, as long as you're in faith, he'll confirm his word. And he will prepare you for what's ahead. No man can prepare you for what's ahead but him. Training is a missing element. Some people stumble into training. Sometimes the Lord just just did a miracle so that they could do what they needed to be, what needed to be done, so he could reap a harvest. But now it's time for people who will be, who will train, and they will do it on purpose and because they want to, not because they're coerced, not because somebody told them they need to, but because they love God. And those are the kind of people that God can do the mightiest works with. Now, I want the best for you, and this is how it comes. And some people are trying to get you to depend on them. You don't have to depend on me. I will speak what God give me. You can listen to these broadcasts as long as you want, and it can bless you. But it will not replace what the Lord wants, the time and devotion that you spend before the Lord. This is a guide. You have to have a personal relationship, a dialogue relationship. I'm showing you how to have it. He'll pick up from there. Now, when you train, you'll be like David. A good example of training is study the life of David. David and Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, Jesus was God. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was learning. He was born in this world, and he had to learn who he was. He believed it because the scripture said it. People don't know that. He went by what the scripture said. He studied under the priest. When he was 12 years old, he stayed in the temple and learned. And his parents were looking for him for 2 days. They went a whole day and they came back and he was in the temple. And they reprimanded him. And he said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? He had to learn. He was asking questions, and as he was learning, he was giving answers. The Lord did everything right. He didn't come in the full power of God. He was born in this world, a legal man. He had to learn like me and you, even though he was God, even though he is the Son of God. He laid his power down and he came here, and every miracle he did as a man who believed his God by his faith. He walked in every gift of the Spirit except for two: the gift of tongues and the gift of interpreting of tongues, because they weren't revealed yet. But he worked in all the gifts of the Spirit. And then when And if you're a prophet, you have to have the gift of prophetic utterance and two revelation gifts. So you'll have three spiritual gifts to qualify to be a prophet. And we'll talk about that on another. I got that from Kenneth Hagin. The Lord told Kenneth Hagin, and I'm telling you have to follow God. God has order. He has purpose. If you allow him to train you, everything is going to be different. Your ministry won't be like anybody else's. It'll fulfill a perfect need. And then if you endeavor to know God, you'll find it in your children. A few weeks ago, about a week ago, my son had a vision. Because he seeks the Lord, he prays. Anybody, if you love God, your sons and daughters will love God too. And when they have children, they'll have the foundation that you built to build on and help them build on. If they reject it, they'll still be blessed, because those that love God will be, the word said, their children will be mighty in the earth. Now, if you serve God sloppy, don't expect too much. Try to get them saved and stop living sloppy. You're not training so God will love you more. But you have to train to do what he give you to do. You have to train to live. Victory requires all dedication. A wise life requires dedication. God does not. He'll save you where you are. His mercy runs deep. If you don't get in sin, you'll remain in the kingdom of God. And if you get saved and you do fall short in sin, the Holy Spirit will convict you of it, so that you will pray and get right with him. But if you refuse to repent and get right with God and act on the conviction and start doing right, you can walk right out of this kingdom and back into this world. See, either you're in the kingdom of God or you're not. But and then the Lord has priests in place to pray for you. And when you see people taking on the fault, start praying for that person's strength. Just like Jesus did Peter. He says, Peter, Satan's going to try to sift your mind as wheat. But I pray for you. And when you're strong, strengthen your brothers. And he did. He didn't fall. He was tempted with the same things that Judas was. He denied God. He denied Jesus 3 times. And then he repented. Now Judas, he got caught. He was sorry for what he did, but he didn't change his heart. Peter changed his heart. Judas didn't change his heart. He wanted Jesus to be a king. And he trusted sin in different places of his life. And it failed him. But if you love God, you put God first. And you will win. Listen, friends, God loves you. And if you train, he will train you. He will help you understand. He will give you the light you're looking for. He will show you things in his word and prepare you for what you got to do. You don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to feel lost. You don't have to be afraid. You will win in him. In him we live, move, and have our being. In him all things are possible to him that believes. It's all in him. So if he trains you, you get to live. Let other people know about this broadcast, because God is mightily moving by his spirit. And he has so much to do in your life. If you take him at his word, he'll bless you. And he'll take you forward. There's nothing in this world that can stop you if you will allow him to train you. Everything the Lord brings to my attention, I take it serious. I think about it. I ask more questions about it. And as long as you're in faith, he confirms his word. He adds to it. He builds you up, not tear you down. The same one who died on the cross for you, who loved you, who blessed you, who sought to be a blessing to you, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth. And he's not going to let you down. Learn to be neutral when it comes to what next. Just can you say whatever you say, Lord? Can you write God a blank check? And say, Lord, take my life and do what you want to with it. Because if you can take that massive step, you can do anything. As long as you're willing, as long as you cooperate, he will prepare you. Yes, you, the person that people overlook and still cause you to do a mighty work. And like we said last week, on the last broadcast, the mighty works of God is loving your brother. That's the mighty work of God. Now, if you have a heart full of love towards everybody, even those that oppose you, in that condition, you're in a place where God can relate to you. I got more revelation from the Lord as I was asking him to help me love his people, to teach me how to love his people, to give me his wisdom so that I, Thurston, could love his people. Even people who were contrary, even people who could be aggravating. I wasn't too concerned about the people that loved me back. I said, what I was asking the Lord is, how do I love my enemies? Help me love people who are contrary to me, who get on my nerves. And I found myself in joy when I would have been frustrated. I saw myself laughing in the same conditions that would have caused me to get people told. I saw myself helping people that I would have had no problems fighting. It's the handiwork of God. And when I tell people about that now, how I used to, you know, I had a little temper going and I would fight if I needed to. They said, no, I can't see, you know, I can't imagine you cussing somebody out. But my friends, who witnessed it, they know better. But God did a work, and he'll do a work in you. It amazed me, so it amazed people what God will do in your life. Before I got started good, I was hoping that I could do right. I didn't really trust myself. I knew I loved Jesus, but I didn't know how good I would do as a Christian. It's all about love, folks. But when you put him first, when you can write God that blank check, when you can say, Lord, take my life and do what you want to with it, now you're ready to operate according to God's purpose. If you can remain that way, you will see the handiwork of God in your life. He'll take your life and I said, Lord, I don't want to fail. I said, I didn't like my success at that time. I didn't like things that were happening in my life. I didn't like my job. I felt like I was behind in my plans. I had made a plan for my life and I was years behind. And I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I said, I'm not doing a good job with my own life and I don't like where I've attained to. So I asked him, I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And that was back in around 1985. And then in 1988, I made that vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do whatever you say. I knew he had my back. Now, the word told me that a long time ago. But it was revelation to me at that day that the Lord had my back. And I said, you always bless me. And he gave me advice in my business, and it was good advice. I knew I would win doing it. And I said, Lord, you knew I needed this a long time ago, but you didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me a long time ago? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And I knew for a fact that I was headstrong and I did things my way. Most ministers can be very headstrong. They think they got it. But those that say, Lord, even if you think you know what to do, even when you know what to do, ask him anyway to see what else he'll say. I do God like that all the time. When I'm convinced this is the way to go, this is what's going to meet my needs, this is what's going to put me over, I ask the Lord to see what he'll say. I say, Lord, how should I handle this situation? Sometimes he'll give me a better route. Sometimes it just depends on what it is. But he always gives me his wisdom. And sometimes I say, Lord, I want to do this better. I said, I don't get enough sleep. I don't get enough rest. I want to do things better. And he helps me do things better. And better. And better. Because he trained me that way. There is a way to do it easier and faster and better. And sometimes you just have to learn things. Some things, it'll take more time than others. Be patient. But always be endeavoring to see what he'll tell you. Give him a chance to show you the better way. There is a better way. Give him a chance to speak his heart. Too many prayers go forth, and they pray and they ask the Lord how to fix all their problems, then they get up and leave. And they don't listen. They don't wait around. They don't hang around and see what the Lord has to say. And that's how things have been. That's what people are used to. And sometimes preachers, along with the word, they preach their situation. You know, what if David didn't say, Lord, why is this drought? He asked the Lord about the drought. And the Lord said, it's because Saul broke covenant with the Gibeonites. And then David did what the wisdom that God gave him. Now, what if David did it this way? Well, we got this drought, and he went before the nation of Israel and said, well, we got a drought. We need to pray that it be God's will that he end this drought. We don't know why God sent this drought. Maybe it was to teach us something. And then he let the people go home. Now, that's how people preach. They got no answer. They didn't get to the bottom of it. They didn't solve the problem, and they still got the doggone drought. I say that with frustration because it's not necessary. God can show you how to kill your problems. God can show you how to kill your problems if you're willing to train. Especially if you're willing to write them a blank check and you mean it. And in ministry, never be under pressure. Never be under pressure by anybody for any reason. Who put you on the stage and said you gotta perform for us? Who qualifies to judge your life? If something's not right and you're asking God to help you fix it, who has a right to tell you you ain't no good? And the Word of God said we're completing Him. Who are you trying to please and why? If you're seeking the Lord, if he's pleased with you, who cares what other people think? Do you love God? Yes. You washed in the blood? Yes. You seek the Lord. If you seek the Lord and hear Him out and act on His word, what better can you do anyway? I see people I wish I could lay hands on and get healed, but they got, there are many that you can, and some people won't receive it. That's not my fault. But I can minister the word, and as they receive the word, then God can heal them and they'll stay healed. If they don't receive the word, they'll get healed and they'll go right back to their misery. Because they're not willing to change their life. Sometimes they got to change their habits. You can't keep eating wrong and stay healed. And if you're not good at staying in faith, you'll go back to where you was. But new vision comes with the life of God's word.